Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of October, recording at 9:45 p.m., and that's still British summertime, although it doesn't feel like it in weather terms. That ended over the weekend. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets, following that weaker close in Wall Street last night, the Asian stock markets fell today. There were some chunky declines, probably none larger than the Hang Seng Index, which was down 4.23%. Asian stock markets, the European stock markets were weaker initially, then narrowed the losses. A few markets moved to the upside, including Sweden, Italy, and the German DAX, marginally higher, but small percentage changes on the day in Europe. The Americas were interesting because they started down in the pre-market activity, but on balance, the earnings reports, a lot of U.S. earnings reports were coming out today. And although Goldman Sachs traded at a loss, it didn't cause more than a temporary effect. And Apple, also, I think this might have come, and Apple might have come after the close. Apple's results were fabulous, but a little below expectations. Some of the others were apparently above expectations. But what happened during the day is that we certainly saw a turnaround, and Wall Street closed with solid gains, offsetting the losses that we had seen yesterday. So that pushes the S&P 500 index back up to 1,225. That's a gain of just over 2%. Now, long-dated government bond prices had rallied strongly earlier in the day, but closed nearly 2 points off their high. So they'd rallied up to 141 for the 30-year long bond future, but it's currently trading at 139.19, and that's down half a point. The U.S. dollar was a little bit weaker today. Commodity currencies did better, and the Aussie's back up to 102.65. Now, precious metals certainly had a fairly volatile day. Gold fell early on, catching some of the contagion selling that it was seeing on Wall Street pre-opening and other markets. So gold fell down to 1627 and 65 cents. That was the low of the day this morning. But it still closed down on the day, but it's at 1659 and change. That's down $11.50 here. Platinum narrowed its losses, but palladium and silver actually moved marginally into profit. Silver up 25 cents at 32.07. Had been nearly $2 lower at one stage. So we're still getting the volatility, but with the bulls winning out here overall. Also, crude oil firm in here today, with the WTI up nearly $2. It's currently at 88.32, and the Brent 111 and change. Industrial metals mostly a little bit lower, and the grains and beans mostly, that's quiet activity. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, yesterday I made the point that stock markets, following a very strong rally in the first half of this month, we're technically short-term overbought, and we're encountering resistance near previous resistance levels, mostly at the upper side of ranges, and were susceptible to some form of pullback, but that they had some breathing space between current levels and yesterday's levels and the lows that we had seen from August through September. Now, that's still very much the case, while one doesn't want to overemphasize one day's action here, overall, we know what one of the ongoing stories is, and that's that corporate profits are holding up pretty well overall here for the and for the although the first I beg your pardon, although the third quarter reporting has only just started. I'm a little cautious. I hesitated there because I'm a little cautious on the subject because I have felt for a while that the earnings estimates were too high, and they usually are when you have a global when you have global GDP growth slowing somewhat. And so I thought they might prove too optimistic overall, and that's still very much a possibility. But today they were they were okay, but we're early. We're only 2 days into the reporting season here. But what today's action does show me is that there's almost certainly demand in the market beyond just short covering, and indeed the rally during the first 2 weeks was and he suggested a bit more than just short covering. I mention this point because in a bear market environment, it's not unusual to get quite sharp rallies. As a matter of fact, the rallies tend to be sharper in a bear market than in a bull market, although they're and to put that in context means you can get a 3-4, maybe a little bit more, a few more days, very sharp rally on short covering in a bear market, but then that quickly peters out. Whereas in a bull market, you tend to get less dramatic moves to the upside, but to have a more persistent run of gains. And we've seen a good run of gains here, and as of today's activity, it's not necessarily over. But weigh it all up, and I think again, short-term overbought indicators, we are likely to see some sort of consolidation in here overall. But more importantly than that, we do feel that we have felt for a while that there was a reasonable chance that those August September lows represented the region, not necessarily the exact level, but the region of a bottom for the major stock markets, and certainly including Wall Street. Now, that's proved to be the case so far, with Wall Street holding near its August lows, and it's at the higher side of a choppy trading range here right now. But the technical evidence, again, it's does suggest that the odds have improved a little bit, that we have actually seen those lows. And I say improved a little bit, I'd say better than 50-50. And there's another factor that influences me in that conclusion. And that is that a few weeks ago, you might recall, Brazil surprised commentators by lowering interest rates slightly. And Brazil's had inflation problems, and it has had a monetary squeeze on. Now, then Israel was the next country to, among the growth economies I'm talking about now, Israel was the next one to cut rates. And Indonesia did so last week. And Australia is, the Reserve Bank of Australia is talking about possibly cutting rates somewhat. And there has been some evidence, some suggestions that China may be close to doing that as well. Now, So you've got three countries have definitely lowered rates a little bit. They're hardly huge economies in global terms, although Brazil is not all that small. But it's the trend that counts. And whereas all the growth economies were raising interest rates at various points from 2010 into this year, they've been on hold for a while, for the most part, and so now we've got three and possibly a fourth coming out too, if Australia cuts rates. And the big ones, as far as I'm concerned, would be for China and India to cut rates. Now, China was about the first to go into the squeeze with it to head off its runaway property speculation, and China's inflation is lower than India's right now. It's still unsatisfactory, but China will also be concerned about the slowing economy. So it would not surprise me if China were to announce some sort of easing in its monetary policy stance in the next couple of months, and possibly sooner. And it may take a little longer for India, but I will be surprised if they increase rates any further, which would mean that the next significant change in monetary policy will be to ease. Now, that's what happens, of course, when we have global GDP growth underperforming, and with some economies in the West particularly, and also in Japan, trundling along near just above recession levels. And when the growth economies, led by Asia as a region, are experiencing some slower GDP growth. And that's, of course, reflected in the stock market. Stock markets weaken against that background. They anticipate it. And that's what we've seen. So, what I'm saying is that the technical action that we've seen recently, to repeat that point, is showing some preliminary signs that the lows for the major economies may be in, and or the major stock markets may be in. And a change in monetary policy from restrictive to easing would certainly be bullish. What it does effectively is to take a headwind for equities and turn it into a tailwind. And that's the background that we see. So it's not all that, it's not one of extreme pessimism for stock markets, in my view, by any means, although we have had sentiment readings. Remember, at the beginning of the month, I posted the Investors Intelligence sentiment reading. It was quite investors advisor sentiment reading, and it was quite low, giving a bullish signal overall. I posted that in comment of the day, and you can also see it in my presentation, which I gave at the Contrary Opinion Forum the week before last. So the pieces of the puzzle are gradually falling into place in favor of a stock market recovery. And by the time both China and India have actually cut rates from the highs that we've seen recently, that I think well, in my mind, that will confirm that the Asian growth engine is going to be picking up once again. I feel that's a very important catalyst for the global economy overall. It's one that's been missing and that we need to see. And I think also, by the time both India and China have cut short-term interest rates, I think stock markets will have discounted that, and we'll have technical evidence that we are clearly in a cyclical bullish phase for a while. And that would also apply to commodities. And you know the story, or veteran subscribers certainly know the story here, because we've been talking about it for years. Secular bull market in commodities So they'll do very well when the global economy, and that started really over a decade ago, nearly 11 years ago, so they'll do very well when the global economy is expanding. They'll do too well. In other words, they cause commodity price inflation, and that leads to a setback and a tighter monetary policy. We saw that in 2008. We saw that from 2010 and earlier this year, leading to a cyclical bear phase for stock markets and also commodity prices, creating a bit of a reset. Well, we've had a moderate reset in here so far, and once the Asian-led growth economy is picking up again rather than slowing from its impressive levels that we had seen last year, once it's picking up again, then you know that that commodity price inflation is probably not going to be all that far behind. And this is something that we're going to be dealing with for a number of years in here, I suspect. So, how to actually play it? Well, I still think that fuller money themes, not least high yielders, high covered yielders, are attractive in this environment. And we felt that way for a few weeks, as you know. The volatility remains disturbing. I put most of that down to the high frequency trading. And I hope they rein it in a little bit more. Maybe with taxes on the higher taxes on positions that are opened and closed in a day. But I don't want to digress here too much. Let's go on and talk about other markets. Here, the bond markets will take their cue from equities. Equities will reflect expectations for global GDP growth, and therefore, bond markets will take their cues from equities. Yields are absurdly low on long-dated government bond yields, in my opinion. We certainly know that they're historically low, so you really do have to feel that this is Japan all over again to like the yields at these levels. We do have the Fed buying long-dated issues. We do have more quantitative easing in the UK, so that can keep yields low for a while longer, but the next big move has got to be to the upside, in my opinion. I do not think this is a Japan-style situation, but I've been overly optimistic in terms of, or you might think pessimistic if you're a holder of long-dated government bonds. But look, does it make sense to before? But does it make sense to be holding long-dated government bonds at these yields? I don't think it makes sense to be holding any bond near record low yields. Okay. What about gold? I think we're still very much in a support building phase above the rising 200-day moving average, following the shakeout from its overextended period caused by that upward acceleration that we saw in August. I certainly don't think that the secular bull run is over. And I think it's only a matter of weeks, possibly months, before we get some renewed strength. The commodities that concern me most going forward will be the crude oil futures. They're still higher than is ideal for the global economy, for sure. And also food prices, and they're still, well, the cupboard's sufficiently bare in terms of global reserves to create a risky supply situation here overall. And Asian countries, well, we've seen over the last year how responsive they have been to commodity price inflation. Again, this is going to be an ongoing concern. I think we're in an environment where it's hard to get a sustained run for many months in one direction. And that's because as growth picks up, commodity inflation picks up, central banks raise interest rates that to rein in inflation. You get a bit of a reset, and that brings equities back down during that period in response to the higher interest rates, creating additional buying opportunities. But it's really a medium-term trading range more often than not. That's fine if you're holding some of the high-yielding equities because you're paid for the ranging activity overall. It's less appealing, less ideal for sure, for the more speculative areas of the market. And on that note, another interesting day. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.